This is Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, the crisis in Cleveland. Tonight's guest, the Reverend Ralph Cousins, chairman of the Communications Network of the Cleveland Council of Churches. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect, Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311, or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Good evening. Because of the crisis in Cleveland, we have postponed tonight's scheduled appearance of the acting director of the Congress for Racial Equality, Mr. Roy Ennis. Instead, our program will originate in Cleveland tonight. Before we go to questions with our guest, the Reverend Ralph Cousins, the news staff of our Night Call network station in Cleveland, WERE, has prepared a special report for us on just what happened last night, how Mayor Carl Stokes is dealing with it, and what's going on right now. For that report, here is Bob Eastman of WERE News in Cleveland.
At this hour in Cleveland, National Guardsmen and police officers surround areas where tension persists in the aftermath of last night's and this morning's violence in which 10 persons were killed. Mayor Carl Stokes announced at a press conference that police and guardsmen would not actively patrol the troubled areas, but would rather stand by as Negro leaders walked the streets talking with residents.
This is a problem primarily in the black community, and the black leadership wants to handle their own problems. And it is in that regard that we have responded to it, as no reflection of any kind upon the police department.
Mayor Stokes insists the violence on the east side of Cleveland does not signal a general unrest, but was the work of a known organization. Stokes calls it a small and determined group. At the height of the shooting last night in which three police officers were killed, WERE News Director Bob Campbell was pinned down with a young man who claimed to be a leader in the organization known as the Social Study Group for Black Power. He told Campbell that the snipers were members of that organization. The young man tried to reason with the snipers by talking to them through a police bullhorn, but the snipers didn't come out until the apartment house in which they were barricaded was filled with tear and irritation gas. Residents of the East Side neighborhood where the shooting took place say those who lived in the house from which the snipers fired were loners. They seemed to deliberately avoid talking to or meeting with other people. Said one resident in these words, "If we had known something like this was going to happen, we would have gotten together and stopped it." This is Bob Eastman, WERE News in Cleveland.
This is Del Shields in New York again. Our guest tonight, like all responsible city officials and involved clergy, has been awake for the past 36 hours, trying to keep tabs on the developing situation and helping out wherever he could. The Reverend Ralph Cousins is Director of Communications for the Episcopal Diocese of Ohio and Chairman of the Communications Network of the Cleveland Council of Churches. Mr. Cousins is standing by in Cleveland to answer your questions and share your comments as well as your conversation. You may speak to him directly by calling Collect, our national number, which is area code 212-749-3311. And we welcome especially calls from the black and white concerned citizens of Cleveland. Later in the program, we hope to have a representative of Mayor Stokes calling in to give us the official word on what's going on and at the time and what's been planned for the rest of the night and tomorrow. Reverend Cousins, good evening.
Hello.
Several people we have been in contact with in Cleveland today have made the charge that the national, as opposed to the local news media of Cleveland, have blown the situation up way out of proportion, saying that there has been no riot, no mob violence, and that the mayor is dealing with the problem efficiently and calmly. What is your comment, sir?
Well, we've had a riot here. There's no question about that, and a very serious one, and one of the worst situations in the country so far in terms of riots. We had three policemen killed last night. We had 10 policemen injured. Three of them are lingering between life and death. We had looting. We had a number of fires. We had a very serious situation here last night, a very serious riot. So that would be my comment. We had a very bad time last night.
In referring to the report that Bob Eastman gave us at the top of the program, what is your feeling towards, in terms of the mayor's allowing this situation to be somewhat controlled by black leadership?
I was delighted with the mayor's decision to pull the National Guard back, pull the police force back, and let the black leadership move into the area to see if they could talk to the people and get the situation under control. I think he made a very wise decision, but a very risky decision. If it does not work out favorably, it could go against him politically. He's the first mayor of a major city, a black man to be a mayor of a major city, and he's taken a great chance if there could be a tremendous reaction against him if this does not work.
I know it's kind of difficult to give an interpretation at this point of the conditions in Cleveland, but is it possible, can we interpret this situation last night as possibly as against the mayor of Cleveland, that there are people who perhaps are not in sympathy with the black mayor of Cleveland?
Well, my feeling after what happened last night is that this is not a matter of race, that this is a matter of poverty, that these are people who are still poor. They may have a symbol in a black mayor, but they still do not have the kind of benefits our society affords to white people, and just having a symbol does not replace the kind of opportunities that most citizens have in this country, and they're rebelling against the system.
Many of our listeners probably are not aware of Cleveland and its situation in terms of the conditions there. Could you describe for us briefly, sir, the area where the riots took place last night? Is this a poverty area, as we know it? Is this a ghetto area? Is this a poverty pocket? Could you describe it for us?
Yes, it is. Many of the people who live in the area where this took place are poor. They are living in old housing. They're living in very deteriorated housing. They're living in a highly congested area. They are under a great deal of pressure because their ability to move out of the area is limited economically and racially. So this is what is known as a ghetto.
Would you say that the conditions in the ghetto probably brought on the riots last night?
I think they contributed to it. They may not have been the total factor, and I think that there is the whole feeling among poor people in the black community that those in power are not going to do anything about alleviating their conditions, and we had a rebellion on our hands last night.
According to the reports that we have been able to read out of Cleveland, the word was out that following Mayor Stokes' election, or just prior to his election, the word was out in the community to kind of cool it for Carl. There was an attempt to keep things kind of under control until the elections. Well, now that the mayor has been elected, and I assume that he has had some opportunity to present some programs in that community, I'm again asking, has the mayor's leadership been effective, or has the entire community felt that the mayor has done the kind of job where the situation would still remain cool? Or is this, again, a situation where there has been a rejection of his leadership?
I don't think there's been a rejection of his leadership. We have a program in Cleveland called Cleveland Now, which gets a tremendous amount of publicity, has had contributions from school children as well as major industrialists. It talks about how Cleveland is going to be improved and conditions are going to be changed, but I have to add that much of this is a promise, and the promises have not been delivered on. The mayor in Cleveland only serves for a two-year term. Mr. Stokes has only been in office some months now. It's very difficult to change things in a few months. It may take years to deliver on the kind of promises and public relations releases which are coming out of the Cleveland Now program, and people who read about how things are going to be so much better in Cleveland and are still suffering under the present situation are not especially impressed with this kind of public relations promises.
This is NYCAL in New York tonight. The crisis in Cleveland, and calling in from Cleveland, Ohio, is Reverend Ralph Cousins, who is on the line and will begin taking our NYCAL guests, and we would certainly like to welcome calls from the Cleveland area. Our national telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Remember, we welcome your calls, collect your comments and your conversation. Now, the local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. But tonight, we would like to give preference to our Cleveland calls. We'll take our first call from the Cleveland area. All right, while we're waiting for the Cleveland area, we'll go to Winston-Salem. And we'll take our call from Sandra Miles at WAAA. Miss Miles, your question, please.
Yes, to Reverend Isaac Cousin.
Yes.
About the riots and so forth, and the problems in the ghetto areas. Last night, someone mentioned about the NAACP as an organization being dead. Of course, I think that most of the members in NAACP are middle-class Negroes. Do you think that the middle-class Negro as a whole is taking an active part in improving the situation in the ghetto area? We know that the white has a responsibility, but what about the middle-class Negro's responsibility?
Well, I think the middle-class Negro does have a tremendous responsibility for the ghetto, and a number of them that I know in Cleveland do feel this most keenly and are working to try to do something about it, and feel that because we have a black mayor in Cleveland, they have a chance to be more effective than they've ever been before, and they're working very, very diligently, but it's a slow process.
Do you think as a whole over the nation that the middle-class Negro is putting forth his efforts to help? Or do you think it's just concentrated mostly with the organizations, such as CORE, SNCC, or SBLC, or NAACP?
I get the impression from many middle-class Negroes that they would like to escape the problems. They would like to move away from them, and they would like to turn their back on the problem of the poor Negro. We have in Cleveland an area of middle-class Negroes who could allow low-cost housing to be built in their area. Now, I use that word low-cost housing advisedly because this housing would cost more to build because it's being built by the federal government than the houses that the middle-class Negroes live in, but they are fighting against it here in Cleveland. It would provide subsidized housing, and poorer Negroes could move into this housing and live in their area. It's called the Lee Seville area of Cleveland, and the residents of that area are opposing it. So what I am now saying may tend to deny what I said earlier. We are having, in Cleveland, a reaction of middle-class Negroes against public housing built in the form of individual homes in their area, which would allow people in the ghetto to move into nicer homes, but live in those homes at a less income than the people that are presently living in that general area.
Ms. Miles, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. This is NYCAL in New York, and we'll take our first call from Cleveland. Mr. John Wolf is hearing NYCAL over WERE. Your call, Mr. Wolf.
Hi, how are you this evening, Mr. Shields?
How are you?
Fine, fine. It's good hearing you. Mr. Shields, I have a couple comments I would like to make. I have many, many colored friends, and they are just as confused as we, the white people. As one colored lady told me, she said, we want to live a good life. We try to keep our place clean. We go to church, but she said it's the real black trash. This is just the word she said. It's the real black trash, the bad ones, that cause all the trouble. Now, this lady that I was talking to, she lives right over in St. Aloysius Church. That's just a few blocks from where all this trouble happened. And she told me, she said, you can't run from it. She said, I've tried to run all my life from this trouble. But she said, it follows me.
Mr. Wolf, I'm going to ask you to hold because we have to depart for station identification and we'll be coming right back. And Ralph and Reverend Cousins, stay on the line, sir.
Right.
Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Ralph Cousins after station identification.
Friday night from 8 to 11:30 p.m., Riverside Radio, WRVR, brings you substantial portions of the McCall Forum. This important seminar was held on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week at the Brotherhood in Action Hall under the sponsorship of the Johnson Foundation. The topic is Woman Power in Action Toward the Reduction of Violence. In keeping with our established tradition of providing listeners with full coverage of important events in New York, we have preempted our regularly scheduled presentations of the Wayne State Chamber Ensemble, Friday Night Contemporary Music, and the Theory and Practice of Communism in order to bring you this special presentation. Mrs. Martin Luther King, Jr. gave the keynote address at the dinner held on Tuesday evening. Margaret Mead, noted anthropologist and author, editor Norman Cousins of the Saturday Review, and Attorney General Ramsey Clark spoke at length, and their remarks will be heard during this 3 1/2 hour program. We urge you to tune in at 8 p.m. for the McCall Forum on Riverside Radio, WRVR, New York. Now back to Night Call, the program that lets you speak for yourself with host Del Shields.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to the Reverend Ralph Cousins about the crisis in Cleveland. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to Night Call, and just prior to station identification, Mr. Wolf calling in from WERE was on the line. Mr. Wolf, you may continue.
Mr. Shields, I want to make this comment. As I said, I have many colored friends, and they are just as confused. This colored lady that I talked to today, she cried. She said it's horrible. She fears for her own children, her family. And she told me that she is always worried what kind of kids her children are getting mixed up with. She raises them a good Christian life, and this is not only one family. It's all the families are the same way, that are trying to live a good life and go the right road. And I have done quite a lot of work in the ghetto, and I have charity work. I have met wonderful people. These people are very few that caused the trouble, but this handful of people that did cause the trouble, I think that every major city should take these people and ship them back to Africa and keep them out of the country. Then they can't cause trouble for our country.
Why would you want to ship them to Africa?
Why? Well, I don't care where they ship them, really. Just so they get them out of this country and keep them away from our society. Because they're tremendous. They're causing trouble time after time. And I think it's wrong.
Reverend Cousins?
Yes.
Your response, sir?
Well, it's very difficult to pick out the people you're going to ship back to Africa, and how do you make a judgment on who you ship back to Africa, and how do you make a judgment on who's causing trouble? These are questions which the civil liberties of this country are designed to protect, and I don't think that I want this lady picking out the people to ship back to Africa. And I don't want to turn that authority over to anyone. We have a free country here, and the people who live peacefully should be allowed to live peacefully and freely, and those who break the law should be apprehended.
Well, here is the thing. They get out, they pay their time, they serve their time in jail. They get out, and they go back to the same old thing many times. And this is the thing that bugs you. How are you going to stop it? Here is Ralph Brown. Here is Carmichael. They're free in the United States. And they're spreading hate. And wherever they go, they do not plant the seeds of love and beauty. They plant the seeds of hate in people's hearts.
Not everybody does what we want them to. I
don't find that those two gentlemen do what I want them to, but I just can't, we can't make up a society based on just what people say and people that say the things that we like. So I don't see how we're going to solve that particular problem without eliminating free speech.
Well,
Mr. Wolf, thank you for calling, sir.
Huh?
Thank you so much for calling.
Can I say one more comment? There is not going to be much black power or white power. The real power is Christian power, the people that love and believe in Jesus. We will survive. I'm sure we're all joining hands silently and praying for peace.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
This is Night Call in New York, and tonight, the crisis in Cleveland, and calling in from Cleveland is Reverend Ralph Cousins, our guest of the evening. We'll take our next call, again, a listener from WERE, Mr. Paul Scherbel. Your call, sir.
Mr. Shields?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to form an opinion to the Reverend and ask him to comment on it. It seems to me, after living in East Cleveland, going to Shaw High School, and reading the accounts in the newspapers, that the conditions in this area seem to be a little bit better than he has stated, and that the riots that he has referred to them were caused by the black militants and not by the conditions. Could he comment on that, please?
I think I would be inclined to agree with you in terms of what happened last night, that the situation was caused by the vicious activities of those who shot and killed the police and triggered the kind of looting and burning we had last night. And I would be inclined to agree with what you said on the surface of it. Why did they become black militants, though? Is it because of the white... I would ask you a question. Is it because of the white racism that this United States referred to in the Kerner Report? Maybe that's why they became black militants.
Well, I think there are always going to be militants in any society. But I'd also like to know if he thinks that the black nationalists had any sort of an organized plan nationwide concerning riots and destruction.
I know of no such plan, but then there's no reason why I should know about it because that's not my work.
Reverend Cousins, and while we have another listener on the line, the looting last night, was it on the scale of lootings, or was it on the scale of the lootings that we've seen in other cities?
Depends on which cities you're referring to. If you're referring to Watts, or if you're referring to Detroit, I would say no, it was not on that scale. If you're referring to Akron, Ohio, where we've had a disturbance a few days ago, a week ago, it was worse than they had in Akron, Ohio.
Mr. Scherbel, you have another question?
No, sir, that's all.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Bill Patterson is hearing Night Call over WERE in Cleveland, and his question to Reverend Cousins.
Hello, Reverend Cousins.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you what you really mean by a riot and what you mean by a disturbance. I think that you really ought to define these terms a little more carefully. It was my understanding that in Cleveland, most of the sniping and looting was very limited in its geographical area. I wish you would elaborate on this and possibly clear me up. I think possibly the listening public would also like to know more of the particulars of what did happen. Now, I understand that, in general, the black community did not sympathize with the rioters. We saw pictures in the Cleveland Plain Dealer of black people. One black civilian was helping a black policeman. As a white policeman was also helping him get into an ambulance when he was wounded.
I saw that picture.
Yes, and I don't think that the community as a whole has up and rioted. I think we really have to say what we mean by a riot. Do we mean a full-scale disturbance being initiated by the entire community, or is it a lot of looting and burning only?
Well, I have to answer your question by saying that I spent the night monitoring the police broadcast, and there were groups of people from in various parts of the community breaking into buildings and burning buildings on a hit-and-run sort of basis. if you mean by rioting thousands of people charging as a mob in one group towards the police, no, we did not have a riot in that sense. If you mean bands or groups of individuals burning and looting over a broad geographical area, we did have that. We've been plotting it on the map today, and I think you'll find that it wasn't located in one specific place, but it broke out in a number of places.
I see. Is there any indication to show any kind of organization with these various gangs that seem to break and hit and run on that kind of a basis?
I haven't studied the map of where these that we've plotted where these occurrences took place. The thing that was very curious to me, in answer to your question, was that it seemed to turn off at 4 o'clock this morning. I don't know what's so magical about 4 o'clock this morning. The guard moved in about that time.
Or it could be it.
Or it could have been that people got tired and went home.
Mm-hmm.
It was sporadic, and it was spread out, and that makes me wonder whether or not people heard about it and took advantage of the situation.
Right. The thing that I'm basically curious about is, or rather, the thing that I feel more strongly about is that we should not view this disturbance as a reflection on the views of the Cleveland community as a whole or the Cleveland black community, but rather as something initiated or at least continued by a handful of black militants who want to cause trouble.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. I do think, though, that there were a number of people who took advantage of the actions of the vicious group that attacked the police, and they may have just been out to loot, and would not join any organization or ever think of or talk of themselves as militants.
Mr. Patterson, right, may I ask you a question, sir? How do you feel about the black leaders in the community asking to assume the responsibility for bringing some degree of order back to the community?
Who are you asking?
Mr. Patterson.
Oh. I think they've done a superb job, and I really want to commend everyone, particularly Mayor Stokes, for his quick action and his action in the proper directions in restraining the National Guard, restraining the police, and in getting on the airwaves immediately and telling people exactly what was going on, keeping them inside and out of trouble. I think he is to be commended. I also believe that particularly the black nationalist leaders should be commended for their efforts in, as they said, keeping Cleveland cool after Dr. King was shot. Cleveland was one of the few cities that did not break out into large-scale disturbances. I really think that they've done an excellent job.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. This is Night Call in New York, and tonight the crisis in Cleveland. Our guest calling in, Reverend Ralph Cousins. Reverend Cousins, two terms have been introduced tonight, and I was wondering if we might get some kind of clarification on them. We've heard the term used, black nationalists, and the second term, black militants. Is there a difference in the interpretation in Cleveland?
Well, I would say that there is a difference. There are those who are for a separatist kind of existence, and that might be termed a black nationalist. A black militant says, I want to be my own boss. I want to have power to control the affairs of my own life, and I'm going to work and do what is necessary to determine my own destiny, but I'm not going to separate myself into a separate nation.
We'll take some additional calls, Reverend Cousins, right after we return after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Ralph Cousins after station identification.
You're listening to Night Call over Riverside Radio, WRVR, 106.7 FM, the radio station of the Riverside Church in New York City. We welcome your comments on this first nationwide listener call-in program. Your opinions and reactions are of value to the WRVR staff and to the producers of Night Call, which is trying to initiate and stimulate dialogue between the black man in the street and his white counterpart. Please address your comments to WRVR 490 Riverside Drive, New York, New York 10027. That address again, WRVR 490 Riverside Drive, New York, New York 10027. The producers of Night Call attempt to balance the points of view presented on the series about controversial issues. In keeping with its traditional concern for free expression on controversial matters, WRVR invites requests for equal time from responsible representatives of opposing points of view if it's felt that they have not been adequately represented on the air. Such requests should be addressed to WRVR at 490 Riverside Drive, New York 10027.
Now back to Night Call.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to the Reverend Ralph Cousins about the crisis in Cleveland. Again, Del Shields.
And we welcome the Night Call stations who join us for the second half hour. And tonight we had scheduled the acting director of the Congress for Racial Equality, Mr. Roy Ennis, but in view of the crisis in Cleveland, we felt that it was necessary for us to focus attention on this important and most shocking event that took place last night. So calling in from Cleveland is Reverend Ralph Cousin, who's on the line now, and we'll continue to take additional calls. We have a call coming in from Philadelphia, Miss Cora Mack, who is hearing Night Call over WHAT. Your question, Miss Mack.
Hello, Reverend Cousins.
Hello.
I would like to know, what type of people do you think are responsible for black people in black communities?
I don't understand your question. Could you ask it another way or ask it again?
What I'm saying is, what type of people do you call responsible, you know, as far as taking the case and preventing riots or stopping them?
I see. I think I understand your question now. We have a number of people circulating in the black community in Cleveland tonight who are very outspoken about what they want for black people in terms of better education, better housing, better jobs. They speak out strongly for this, but they're walking the streets of Cleveland tonight saying, cool it, and they are acting, I think, responsibly. They know if they continue to have a disturbance here, it will discredit our mayor, a very fine man, who is the first black man mayor of a major city, and they do not want to see him discredited. They want to give him a chance. They want to work for their goals in a nonviolent sort of way.
Yes. What do these responsible people do about education? What are you looking for, and what do you want from education as better education for the people in Cleveland?
One of the black militants I was working with today is in charge of the Head Start program in the black community. He's working full-time as the head of the Head Start program. He sees this as a way of helping black people.
Yes. Do they have Afro-American or black history? Not George Washington Carver, Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass. Not that type, but past African history for the people.
Yes, there are Afro-American groups in Cleveland.
No, I'm saying, do they have they start teaching Afro-American history from the past in Cleveland public schools yet?
I believe they have.
Thank you for calling, Ms. Mack.
You're welcome.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number, and remember, you make call collect, and we welcome especially tonight calls from the Cleveland area. The crisis in Cleveland, our guest, Reverend Ralph Cousins, will take our next call, again from Cleveland. Mr. Arthur Einhorn is hearing Night Call over WERE.
Hello?
Your question, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I don't wish to ask the question. I just wish to make two comments with regards to the question that was brought up before about what progress Cleveland has made with their new mayor. Is this okay?
Yes, you may, sir.
First of all, I would like to say that on the tragic day when Dr. King was killed, it was publicly known that Mayor Stokes was out on the streets of Huff, which is the community in which the riots of 1966 took place. And on that day when Dr. King was killed, he is said to have been up till about 4:30 in the morning, calming the people down and preventing riots that might have occurred as they did in other cities. The second thing I have to say is that I'm a graduate student at Case Western Reserve University, which is probably the major university in Cleveland. And I witnessed during the summer countless Negro students who probably seemed to be of high school age having special instruction in the school. And this seems to be a unique program that is made to further the progress of the Negro youngsters in the community. And therefore, I sort of give a vote of confidence to Mayor Stokes in making both of these projects possible.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Reverend Cousin, did you want to make a comment?
Well, I'm delighted with the programs that the gentleman referred to. We still have a long way to go, though, and I'm not convinced that having a black mayor is going to solve those problems immediately. People have to be aware of the time lag you have between electing a black mayor and getting effective social change. That's my comment.
Our next caller is calling in from Dallas, Texas, hearing Night Call over KNOK, Mr. Harold Lowry. Your question, Mr. Lowry.
Reverend Cousin?
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
That's fine. I would like to know what other Negro officials do you have in the Cleveland area, such as the mayor?
Well, we have black councilmen. We have people on the law director's staff. We have other people in the city administration who are black officials.
Well, you do have good participation in the area of politics in your black community.
Yes, we do. We have some outstanding men.
This is one thing we need in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and all over Texas.
Well, get to work.
Participation.
Well, get to work then. Get people out to vote. Get them registered. Get them to run as candidates. And I wish you luck.
Last night, our guest commented that it didn't seem to make any difference who the president was, but I disagree, and I would like your opinion on it, too.
I think it makes a great deal of difference who the president is. I would like to see a president of the United States who was against violence, both in deed as well as word. I think if we had that kind of president, I think we would have less violence in our cities.
Thank you, and I'm glad I got a chance to speak with you.
Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Bye-bye.
This is Night Call in New York, The Crisis in Cleveland. Our guest, Reverend Ralph Cousins, and once again, we'd like to remind our listeners in Cleveland that you had the priority tonight. We'd like to hear from you. Our next caller, Mr. William Allen, who is hearing Night Call over WERE. Your question, Mr. Allen.
Yes, I'd just like to make a few comments. I'm a resident of Cleveland. I also have a business in Cleveland. I imagine every black man in the United States of America has a reason for being bitter somewhat towards the white race. And it's been this way for quite some time. It's going to be this way for more time to come. But what I'm saying is a lot of people have no programs, no one helping them to remove some of this bitterness. Some have accepted defeat and have rebel more or less against society and the way the nation is set up. But yet and still, there's many who want to believe in their city, such as we do here in Cleveland, and what they're doing and how they're doing it. And I think that if the nation would just try and keep the good programs coming, do away with these laws that prohibit the black man from excelling on his own, and don't worry about the militant ones because they will come to pass, I'm sure. I can't speak for everyone, but this is my opinion. I'm upset over what's happened, and I'll never forget it. I resent it to the utmost. I just wish that it had never happened, and I hope that it all comes to pass very soon. I'm saying that being a young fellow here in I was raised and went to the prison school system. Many days went by when I didn't believe. I just thought it was no future, no nothing. And now with this different laws, different programs, industry coming in and helping out, I'm sure that a greater percentage feel the way I do, much more than they did yesterday or the day before yesterday or last year. And it's going to come a time it's going to be better. It's a small percentage of people that feel that way, and they will be eliminated.
Mr. Allen, do you view the events last night as an isolated event or as isolated events? Do you see it as part of a national conspiracy?
Well, my feelings, and I have pretty good reason to feel this way, this is a small group of people, people who are totally bitter, people who are way out, that's going to be hard to get them back on the right track. I guess you could even say that they just more or less gave up on society, and there's possibly other influence involved in this also. Let me give you my viewpoint on that, if I may. Now, these people are getting together to do harm, to cause harm. It's a small group, I'm sure. And what happens when they start something in one city, or one area, I should say, the hoodlums from other areas take advantage of this. They see opportunity to loot, to cause trouble, and to get away with it because of the police concentrating on certain areas. And this is what has happened across the country. Like I say, every Negro has a reason, or every black man has a reason to be bitter towards society. And through moments like this, it comes out sometimes.
Reverend Cousins?
Yes. Well, I am inclined to agree with him. There is a bitterness which I think a black man would have every right to feel about the way he's been treated in some instances, and it did come out in Cleveland last night. Okay?
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. Tonight, the crisis in Cleveland. Our national telephone numbers again, area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Remember, we welcome your calls collect. And again, another Cleveland listener, Mr. Dan Serino, who is hearing Night Call over WERE. Mr. Serino, your question, sir.
Yes, I would like to pose a question to the Reverend. Reverend, ask his comment. I firmly believe that the incident last night was a totally isolated case, and but I would like to have his opinion on the national outbreaks, if you will, like what we've had in Detroit and Cleveland and the Watts area and so forth. I personally believe that there is a communist flavor behind part, if not all, of this. And I would like to hear the Reverend's opinion on this.
Well, I would think that you would have to know a great deal more than I know to answer the question, because there are riots around the country which seem to be an explosion of feeling against the society, and they don't seem to be organized. People seem to be acting hysterically. When you say communism, you're suggesting that some foreign power has organized these riots, and I don't see enough evidence of that to draw that conclusion.
Have you heard anything as to the effect where Mayor Stokes was forewarned about an incident going to take place in Cleveland, and that this was supposed to have been timed concurrently with the city of Detroit also, but that inclement weather prevented it in Detroit. Now, have you heard anything about this?
I've heard that. I've heard other things said about this situation, but I get a little bit worried about the rumor quality in this. I was talking to a lady in New York today, and we were considering setting up a rumor clinic where we would try to deal with false statements. And she said, forget it. They've tried that in some cities, and people who want to spread rumors can spread them faster than you can put them down. So don't, it's a lost cause. I don't know. I've heard what you said, but then how do I check it out? How do I verify it? I don't know. That's a hard question.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you, sir.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll take more calls from our Night Call listeners right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Ralph Cousins after station identification.
Finally, Harvey Ginsberg, who is my editor at Putnam's, suggested that I have Cole do a first-person story, and I talked to him about it. And Cole said, no, he wouldn't do it. And then he paused, and he said, but did I ever tell you that when I was 6 years old, my mother fell under the influence of a gypsy numerologist who persuaded her that if your initials spelled a simple word, that you would be a success in life. So she ran down to the courthouse and changed my name from Cole Porter to Cole Albert Porter.
You've been listening to author George Eales, whose recent biography of Cole Porter is The Life That Late He Led. This Thursday evening at 9 on Riverside Roundtable, Mr. Eales will discuss this great songwriter and his world. Included will be rare recordings of Irene Bordoni, Ethel Merman, Gertrude Lawrence, Josephine Baker, and the late Mr. Porter. Join us this Thursday evening at 9 for Riverside Radio Roundtable over WRVR-FM in New York City.
Now back to Night Call, the program that lets you speak for yourself with host Dale Shields.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to the Reverend Ralph Cousins about the crisis in Cleveland. Again, Del Shields.
Reverend Cousins, just before we return to more calls from our Night Call listeners, I'd like to pose a question or two to you. And I have no fear that people across the nation will be observing the situation in Cleveland very, very closely, especially in terms of the responsible black leaders who are assuming the direction in terms of trying to return some degree of normalcy to that particular area. Now, my question is that, is it possible that many of the white people in Cleveland felt that the black problem was going to be taken care of by a black mayor, and that there was no need to actively present any programs, that the mayor himself could probably take care of it, that his being a symbol would answer all of the problems?
There was an element, certainly, of this. The idea that a black mayor would keep the black people rioting. This was suggested in innuendo in other ways. Carl Stokes, Mayor Stokes, had tried to present a program, though, to go along with being just not being a mayor just as a black man, but a man with a program.
We'll take our next call from Mr. Joe Surrett, who is hearing Night Call over WERE. Your question, sir.
Well, Reverend Cousins began tonight's program by saying that last night's riot came as a result of the frustration of the Negro and his inability to achieve social and economic equality. Well, I can buy this when you have a demonstration, which maybe will get somewhat out of hand. But, you know, they say that the FBI did have word yesterday already that something was going to happen last night. So as far as we can see, this was premeditated, and it was simply cold-blooded murder. They lured the policeman there and then shot at them. Now this, you know, before riots became fashionable, would be known as simple gangland murder. And, to say that this is a result of what so-called white racism is simply rationalizing. In that vein, you can justify just about any atrocious act that was being done throughout the history of mankind. There's always something there to put it on.
I was trying to say something different.
Yeah.
I was trying to say that this terrible thing which happened in Cleveland last night suggested to me it was not a racial grievance, but a matter of poverty. It was a grievance of black people who are poor, but they acted, I think, because they are outside of the society and are not acting because they were just because they were black, but because they were outside of the mainstream of society. I was not trying to put this, I was trying to get off the racial aspect of this.
Yeah, well, even without, even the economic aspect, that you cannot say that this is the motivation for such a cold-blooded act. This is simply, this element which does participate is, does not stem from their economic or social background. It's simply they are criminally, either possess criminal minds or they're just plain bad, as you might say. I don't think that the social or economic background can really shed light on this, you know, at such a premeditated, cold-blooded murder.
Well, that's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know what motivated these men completely. I was just trying to give one element of it, which appears to me to be the fact that they have somehow or another been completely alienated from the society, so alienated that they would do the terrible thing they did. What part of that, I think, was race, but a bigger part, I think, was economic.
Yeah, well, to me, just this isolated incident just manifests the existing situation, but...
Well, it just happens all over...
It focuses our attention on it.
It does focus our attention on it. It is an isolated incident in that this is the first time we have had such a terrible, atrocious attack on the police as we've had in this instance. But if this begins to happen in other places, it won't be an isolated incident. It will just be the first one. It's a very serious thing.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York. The crisis in Cleveland is our discussion tonight, and our guest calling in is Reverend Ralph Cousins, who is the chairman of the Communications Network of the Cleveland Council of Churches. Our next caller, Mr. Richard Larson, is hearing Night Call over WERE. Your question, Mr. Larson.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Mr. Shields and Reverend Cousins.
Hi.
Yes, well, it seems to me that the terrible occurrence last night is a manifestation of the violence which is occurring in Vietnam. And I think this is inescapable. I think that the rebellions that have been occurring over the past several years are a manifestation of this enormity that we are perpetrating in Vietnam. And I think that, referring to some of the callers, I mean, if we can't recognize that this is a manifestation, that this is a social phenomenon at this point, then I'm afraid that these people will never recognize this. But I do think that this is the cause. The Vietnam, the reason for Vietnam, the cause, the element of reaction in our society. Charles de Gaulle said that the Mideast war was probably a contagion, to some extent, a contagion from Vietnam. And I don't think there's any question that, but that what is occurring in our, such as last night, is a contagion, a kind of a backlash from this violence in Vietnam.
I'm inclined to agree with much of what you say. One of the rumors we've had here, and I've put that word in there, rumor, because I can't verify this, and it'll be some time before it is verified, was that some of these men who attacked the police were Vietnam veterans. That has been said here. We ought to, before we say it too loud, we ought to check it out.
I heard something of this nature, yes, and the weapons also.
Yes. I, again, reiterate, that is a rumor.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, the crisis in Cleveland. Our guest, Reverend Ralph Cousins, and we were hoping before we left the air tonight that we would get a report from Mayor Stokes' office, and we're hoping that we will get it before we leave the air. Area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. That's area code 212-749-3311. Remember, we welcome your calls collect and your comments as well as your conversations. Our next caller is from Boston, Mr. Nathan Andrews.
Yes,
your question,
hello.
Sir.
Yes, sir. One thing I'd like to say, say that we support, you know, the people that's, you know, fighting for the black, you know, we support the black freedom fighters here in Boston 100%. And also I'd like to say, you know, about the lady calling about one black lady was crying over what had happened. Well, it's the same type of people who cried when the black people was brought into slavery. Also, I like to say also too is this. We have here in America, in this country, people with more PhDs, masters, honor degrees than any people in the world. Yet America is fighting, you know, in Vietnam, and they have been fighting in all sorts of wars. They always resort to violence with all these degrees and knowledge. And I like to say, you know, in reference to everyone calling, condemning a few black people that resort to violence in reference, you know, and in terms of their intellectual white people that's fighting all these other wars against people with all this knowledge. I would like, you know, the Reverend to comment on, you know, the few black people, you know, who are ignorant, I imagine, because they're living in the slums, you know, ghetto, in reference to this.
Well, I want the greatest amount of social change possible, which will allow people to have the benefits of our society, and I don't think what happened here in Cleveland last night is going to create that kind of social change. I think what happened here in Cleveland is going to create a backlash, more reaction, more repressive measures, more bitterness, more polarization against between the races, and that's why I deplore and am very sad about what happened.
Yeah, I think it's a sad condition. You know, I mean, things is very sad, but also, you know, people say it's going to be a more backlash, or, you know, it's going to create more separation of the unity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it always has been a one-sided particular type of separation, you know, as you know, as you can see. And if you understand this, the actual situation, this complex situation, in relation to the, you know, the black in relation to the white, you know,
mm-hmm.
You can't move here, you can't do this, you're always confined. There's always a law for this, you know, you can't do that, and you have the police always running through the neighborhood, you know, and if a person probably have a couple of drinks, you know, maybe not too much trouble, they take it to the station, and you're whipped by the policeman. And naturally, there's a lot of grievances on the part of black people, and these grievances are not given the proper considerations in the court. So there's only one way to settle it. When you're confronted with a policeman and you realize that in court you're not going to get the proper justice, you have to settle it right then.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and time does not allow us to take our additional calls from Cleveland. Mrs. Elizabeth Amerson is hearing Night Call over WERE, and Mrs. Tadello also hearing Night Call over WERE. We're sorry we don't have enough time to take your call. And tonight has been The Crisis in Cleveland. Our guest, Reverend Ralph Cousins. And Reverend Cousins, thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
I enjoyed being on the program.
Thank you, sir. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, The Changing Face of Black Leadership, Part 4. What's the Future of CORE? With Robert Sonny Carson, head of the Brooklyn chapter of the Congress for Racial Equality. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and National Urban Coalition.